Legislators question the new design concepts for Upper Lynn Canal shuttle ferries, and should Yukoners get to pay resident prices for fishing licenses? It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Some lawmakers are questioning plans for a pair of shuttle ferries slated to provide service in the Northern Lynn Canal. Ferry officials released preliminary descriptions and drawings earlier this week. They described identical 280-foot, 300-passenger, 53-vehicle day boats that would serve Juneau, Haines, and Skagway. The plan went before a joint meeting of the House and Senate Transportation Committee on Thursday. Juneau Senator Dennis Egan asked Deputy Transportation Commissioner Ruben Yost about two of the most common concerns: harsh storms and a partially open car deck.
What happens when that ship has to turn around and the spray comes into the open stern? I mean, that really worries me. It seems to me like you'd have to get a whole bunch of Marine Highway employees with blow torches to thaw out the cars so they can get off.
First of all, you're talking about a fairly extreme situation. Second of all, those
situations. I mean, we have had cancellations of the Leconte more than once.
Correct.
This winter.
Correct.
You know, we have extreme situations.
Right. The turnaround situations with the Leconte are primarily because of that ice spray freezing on the davits of the lifeboats. They don't threaten the stability of the ship. They threaten the ability to launch if there's a crisis with the ship for other reasons.
Yost told legislators that the state expects the ships could be built for the $117 million remaining for design and construction. Wrangell Representative Peggy Wilson asked whether that included terminal modifications to accommodate bow and stern loading.
For the adjustments to the harbor itself, where they have to make adjustments for the front end roll-on, roll-off, is that included in here?
No, this is just vessel construction costs and project development costs. There will be required end berths, probably bow berths, at Haines. And we estimate that cost now at approximately $20 million. So that's an additional cost.
Yost said the terminal would be eligible for federal funding. Ship construction will not, because officials plan to offer a preference to in-state shipyards. Several lawmakers questioned the shuttle's safety and passenger comfort level in rough weather. Chicoloon Representative Eric Feige said the design could cut down on schedule flexibility.
This is really going to limit the usage of these ships. So these ships are really just going to be Lynn Canal only. You're not going to be able to divert them if you have a need elsewhere in the fleet.
We have shown, at least schedule-wise, that this vessel could go to Hoonah, to Angoon, to Tenneke, to Gustavus, and we've shown for extended voyages where to fill in for an emergency situation, going to Sitka, and then housing the crew overnight on shore, this vessel would be designed for those weather conditions as well.
The transportation committees will ask more questions and take public comments at their next joint meeting on Tuesday. It's a common sight in Haines in the summer months, a car or camper with Yukon license plates parked alongside the Chilkoot River, its occupants lining the banks and trying to score a sockeye. Yukoners are partly enticed to this experience because, thanks to an agreement between the Alaska and Yukon governments, they pay a resident fee for a fishing license in the state. The same goes for Alaskans who wish to fish in the Yukon. But last week, the Upper Lynn Canal Fishing Game Advisory Committee voted unanimously to ask the state to discontinue the reciprocity license agreement. The issue came up for discussion near the end of the committee's nearly four-hour-long meeting, so board member John Tronrud of Skagway said it wasn't discussed at length, but it was enough for the committee to agree it wants to recommend the state end the agreement. Tronrud said he believes the agreement should end because the increased income would be beneficial to the Department of Fish and Game. Also, Tronrud said he thinks the non-resident fishermen who pay the non-resident fee will be more likely to appreciate the privilege.
My personal viewpoint was that if you're given something for free, you have a tendency to not respect it as much as if you pay for it. And I think I've seen some abuse in that respect. Plus, it limits the amount of funds that the department's be able to take in, you know. And the department runs on fees, so So when you're giving people something at a discounted rate, it's cutting back on the fees that Fish and Game's taken in.
The reciprocity agreement was a legislative action in 2004, and the regulation went into effect the next year. One of the sponsors of the bill, Senator Fred Dyson at the time, said the act was a sign of goodwill between the countries and appreciation for the Yukon supporting Alaska's efforts to build a gas pipeline. Fishermen must have a resident license in their own country to qualify to buy a resident license in the other country. In Alaska, a resident annual sport fishing license is $24 compared to a non-resident annual license, which is $145. And a resident king salmon stamp is $10 compared to the non-resident price of $100. Tronrod said other board members who supported the action were concerned with so-called loopholes in the bag limits and possession regulations that some feel Yukon fishermen abuse. Alaska Department of Fish and Game sport fish biologist in Haines, Rich Chapel, said the agency, during its State Board of Fish meetings, usually fields questions and concerns about bag limits and possession regulations. Sometimes fishermen will immediately freeze or process their catch, and then legally, those fish don't have to count toward a daily bag limit or possession limit. But Chapel said, while that may seem to skirt the regulations, there's nothing illegal about it. Chapel said the department does not take an opinion on the committee's recommendation, since its focus is on management.
You know, I guess from Fish and Game's point of view, as long as the fisheries manage sustainably, you know, we're making our escapement goals, then there's no biological problem.
Tronwyn said also board members mentioned that reciprocity is likely used more by Yukoners than by Alaskans. Skagway is the closest port to the ocean for Whitehorse residents, and Tronrod said several Yukoners keep boats at the Skagway Harbor. That allows them to fish throughout northern southeast, he said.
And there was some discussion that a lot of Canadians actually put in Haines and Skagway, and they don't fish close by. They actually run all the way down to Hoonah or Icy Strait somewhere and do a lot of their fishing. So it's not just a local impact. It's further out as well.
Fellow board member Julia Hines said she also wonders if Alaskans are getting as much out of the agreement as Yukoners are. Hines is authoring the letter from the committee to the state about the recommendation. She said she is still researching arguments and statistics surrounding the agreement. But she said decreased funding for Fish and Game is another reason why the reciprocity agreement may need to change. Tronrun said the committee is only advisory and the letter the committee is sending to the state may not actually prompt a change in the regulation. And that's what Haines Tourism Director Tanya Carlson hopes. She said the Yukon residents that come to Haines to fish spend money in several areas of the community. And while she said she doesn't think a change to the license agreement would deter too many Canadians from continuing to come, she does think it would make a bad impression on them and possibly threaten the tourism dollars Yukon fisher folks bring to town.
The dollars trickle through our community, and I think certainly with the amount of money that our community is probably going to be losing in state and federal funding, every dollar spent here is a dollar that counts. We need it.
Haines business owner Doug Ulrud said the same. He said he remembers when the bill went through the legislature. At the time, the Canadian dollar was weak, and Ulrud said it would cost Yukoners $200 to $300 for a non-resident fishing license. Now, even for the Canadians that could afford the non-resident fee, Ulrud said reversing the agreement would hurt Haines' reputation.
Yeah, they could probably, some of them could pay more, some of them can't. But it's a public relation thing that they really appreciate, that welcome mat being out there for them, and they definitely come down here more often than they would otherwise.
Tronrud agrees if the effort moves forward, Upper Lincolnel residents will have to work to convince Yukoners that they are still welcome. But Tronrud said reversing the reciprocity agreement makes sense for both countries.
We got to be careful how it's put out there or perceived. It's not about stopping them from coming. It's just that, you know, let's make it what actually it should be. That's so that the departments get the fees they need. If I want to go fish in the Yukon, I feel that's the same way. I should pay what the non-resident fee is.
The Upper Lincolnel Fish and Game Advisory Committee is one of 82 local advisory committees in the state that provides recommendations to the State Department of Fish and Game for consideration. The Skagway Panthers are halfway through a four-game road trip, and they posted a good showing in Angoon. On Tuesday, the Panthers lost to the Eagles 48-55. They were leading at halftime, but Angoon rallied in the third period and came out ahead. Trevor Cox posted 21 points in the game for the Panthers, followed by Nick Ackerman with 10, Eric Cochran and Zach Wassman with 6 each, and Hannah O'Daniel with 3 and Polly Brown with 2. On Wednesday, the Panthers came within 4 points of the win with a 40-44 final score. Donovan Henson led the Panthers with 10 points, followed by Cox, Cochran, and Ackerman with 8 each, and Wassman with 6 points. The Skagway team is now in cake for a 2-game series, and the games will be broadcast on KHNS Thursday and Friday evening. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld for help with this report. And thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. This is Margaret Friednauer in the KHNS Newsroom. We are news from the Upper Lynn Canal and Southeast region every weekday from Monday evening through Friday morning. On Monday mornings, we feature NPR Business News. And on Friday evenings, we bring you the Alaska Fisheries Report. We have a wrap-up of that week's local news on Saturday's Lynn Canal Weekend. And you can always listen to your news on your time and anytime by going to khns.org. Thanks for listening.